Election night coverage is on FM Talk 106.5 with up-to-the-minute results, analysis of all the races, statewide and local, with the FM Talk 106.5 political team. Your host, Sean Sullivan, on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 906 FM Talk 106.5, and continuing coverage of election night for the runoffs here in the state of Alabama. I'm also looking, as we're looking at numbers, looking for percentages of turnout. A lot riding on my 9%, my 9% expected turnout in the state of Alabama. We'll see where we are. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be pockets like of course Baldwin County, Marshall County that'll be higher than that. But there's going to be, I got to imagine, Dale, as you said earlier, there's going to be parts of the state that just they got no reason to go.
Sumter County and Livingston.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just think of this. If you've got nothing on the ballot except for a Supreme Court judge runoff and the AG race and the lieutenant governor's race, you're not going to do that. You don't care. So that's a big problem.
Especially
The Democrats really got nothing going on either. So they have nothing on the statewide side. They've got some state races or some local races, obviously, with Alvin Holmes and John Knight. So, I mean, it could be low.
All right, I want to look through some of the stats as we have them now. We were talking about when we went to the break, talking about what's happening in this Alabama Senate District 32 race that has a lead for right now Chris Elliott, but it's I think that's way too soon to call. Do y'all agree with that? I mean, we're looking at numbers. That's too soon to call. What we can call at this point is Steve Marshall the winner.
Yes,
Steve Marshall, the winner in the AG's race. Also, we look at Martha Roby beating Bobby Bright handily. And then this one, anybody willing to offer a thought here on this Ainsworth-Kavanaugh race as we get a little bit closer? Is there, I asked this question before we went to the break, is there some, because I don't know, I'm looking for y'all, is there some area of the state that's going to be just, the twinkle country?
Yes, because Montgomery boxes are notoriously slow coming in.
Really?
If there's a place where Twinkle Kavanaugh is going to be strong, it's going to be between Dothan and Montgomery. I think that's her opening. When Montgomery box is coming in so slow, I think this is still a race, and I think maybe she'll get a little closer. But I don't know if there's enough there, but yeah, to me that's, If there was an opportunity, it's going to come out of Montgomery, and that tends to be the last.
Well, let's also think about this for a second. He's sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to step on you, but he's been up this entire time. There has even when it was early, there was not like back and forth, and that may tell us that it may be a statewide thing. I mean, that could very well be it. We'll have to see later, but. Maybe you're right about the slow boxes in Montgomery, that being her wheelhouse. But across the state, he seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, look at it. Bob Gribb's latest tweet here for lieutenant governor. It's 52-48%. 52-48. But I get what you're saying, Dale. I mean, it has not done the old, he's up, he's down. He's up, he's down. He's pretty much held on to
that. Also, keep in mind where you said you saw the twinkle signs.
Yeah.
They're in the sort of populated areas.
They were
areas.
In the Luther Strange Yard.
So those are where the boxes
They use the same
later.
Metal, just replace the core plastic.
Probably so.
On top of that. Let's also, I would have just quickly.
A tweet.
Yeah.
Sorry. A tweet just came in from someone at Ainsworth's event, and they said they're there with Will, and things are looking good. So they seem to think things are going pretty well. At that event, so that's just from the inside.
I want
to
run
us that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we're going to hopefully by the end of the show get some of these called. I will say here locally that we're watching a lot of judicial races. Circuit Judge Place 6, Brandy Hambright with 9,494. Harry Satterwhite, 9,463. He was up early.
Right.
That's turned around. District Judge Place 4. Spiro Chirigotis is 10,766, and George Zogby 8,858 with 71% of the precincts reporting.
Well, those Burma Shave campaign signs really were paid off.
It's pretty cool when you notice that, in the side. I want to check in with Matt Murphy from Talk 99.5 in Birmingham and enter his commentary into the fray. Hey, Matt.
Hello, gentlemen. Good evening. How are y'all?
I think we're good. I do want to get the take from you in the Birmingham area and what you're seeing. When you went out today, do you think turnout breaks 10%. Do we make double digits in turnout today, Matt?
I mean, well, at least in my experience and from individuals who were calling in to our radio show this morning with early reports and those that hit me up on social media, no, I don't think that we break that amount. I think those diehards went out and voted for their respective candidates, but other than that, a lot of folks were turned off by the negative advertising to the point they stayed away from the polls if they knew about the vote at all.
Hey, Matt, when you talk about running a Republican race in Alabama, the place they always say to look at are the Overton Mountain suburbs of Birmingham and Shelby County. In this election cycle, in this short runoff cycle, it doesn't seem like that was really a focus so much. Did you get a sense of anything different this time?
Well, I got the sense there are a few things different, Jeff. I would say this. One, Twinkle is a known commodity in Montgomery more so than she is in Birmingham. And she, despite her efforts, is very much a Montgomery insider. She was perceived as such. And going against Will Ainsworth, who was relatively unknown as well in the Birmingham metropolitan area, I think that became sort of a wash. And so it became who's going to fire negatively first, which was very much a turnoff with regard to Twinkle's hopes in and around the Birmingham metro. I would predict that Twinkle's going to lose fairly badly. Will's obviously going to win in North Alabama. I think she's going to lose very badly in the Birmingham, not very badly, but she's going to lose the Birmingham metropolitan region, which might cost her the race. Remains to be seen what happens in the Montgomery boxes. As far as the AG's race goes, Troy King, it was a known commodity, and Troy King came off as something of a smarmy, has-been, know-it-all, and that's not, and I know that I'm biased when I say that. It's not just me saying that. It's a lot of our listeners say that. And
yeah, pretty much we all said that. We all said that before you came on, so just join the club. That's pretty good.
Well,
yeah.
And I didn't see any passion on the other side. Where are Troy King's passionate supporters? At least Roy Moore fought this uphill battle in his Senate campaign. He was a horrible candidate, but at very least he had a 25% base of passionate supporters. Troy King didn't have that. And, you know, at the very end, he tried to pull in Roy Moore to try to glom onto some of his supporters, and that didn't work either.
What was that? Well, you know, that was you mentioned this on Twitter about that. I think it's the unwritten story about Roy Moore sort of having this sort of flirtation with gambling, but we don't really, you know, and as you picked up on it on past races. Do you think there's really something there?
I believe that Roy Moore, in allowing his name and likeness to be used in a mailer in an effort to elect Troy King, demonstrated himself to be either a complete fraud or a complete fool. Roy Moore was bought by the gambling interest when he used his image on those mailers. Not only do I believe that, I believe that you can trace the money back to Las Vegas, Nevada in that regard. And I'm trying to do that right now. But the effort to draw Roy Moore into that race demonstrates to me, and to convince him to endorse Troy King, demonstrates to me that Judge Moore is either a fool or a fraud. Secondarily, it convinced me that Troy King was incredibly desperate and saw some of the numbers that some of us saw, indicating that Steve Marshall was easily going to win tonight.
All right, let's get some reaction to that from Dale Jackson from WVNN. You're typing furiously. What are you typing, man? Love letters? What you got?
Oh, sorry, I'm putting together my notes for tomorrow, but Matt Murphy mentioned, you know, Roy Moore is either, a fool or a fraud? Why not both? I mean, we'll just allow him to be both of those things. And then Troy King decided to bring a guy on who lost a race he should have won because people thought he was a child molester, whether or not that was a fair attack or not. It just, that is desperation. And Roger Stone? Who the hell knows who Roger Stone is? It's just what an absolute joke of a campaign.
No, nobody cares who Roger Stone is. Nobody knows who Roger Stone is. I thought that, you know, obviously Steve Marshall handled the last several weeks as best a human being could with regard to the death of his wife. Troy King managed to act like a human being for about 4 or 5 days and then went back to old Troy King tactics, which was to attack, 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 attack. It's my understanding that Troy King expressed regret in the aftermath, and this is just inside information that I got at the time, that Troy King expressed regret in the aftermath of Steve Marshall losing his wife in as much as he could not continue attacking him, and he feared that he was going to lose momentum. So when you're dealing with that kind of candidate, I think people in Alabama, voters in Alabama, are smart enough to see through that kind of trash, and they obviously did so tonight in that race.
Hey, Matt, this was the election cycle of Trump and who could be the Trumpiest. Was that just a meme that it was just thought up in D.C. by some lazy consultants? Do you think did any of that matter, especially given just looking at this Roby turnout? I mean, this Roby results down in AL2.
I don't know. I mean, I would like to believe the more local you get, the less that matters. Although, obviously, the consultants who were paid good money to offer their advice in many of these political campaigns decided that if you say Donald Trump's name more than you say your candidate's name, you're going to win. You're going to come out on the winning side. And plenty of candidates did that. Even candidates I supported. You know, Steve Marshall tied himself to Donald Trump when there was no clear nor obvious connection.
His ad, Matt, what was it? It was a jump cut. You had a Trump cut, and then you had Steve agreeing with him, and then you had a jump cut. And then, yeah, I agree with that, too. I mean, it was silly. And
Marco Rubio's state chairman in the 16th cycle, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yes, that one was pretty over the top.
Yeah, and then obviously, and as far as the Roby connection, I mean, she was as far out there against Trump in the weeks leading up to the election as any sitting congresswoman would get, yet Bobby Bright fired on all cylinders. Now, I think there are a lot of different factors. Bobby Bright is obviously a quantity that is well-known in Montgomery circles, too. He was a Democrat. Then he tried to play the Republican game. He's jumping back and forth and flipping back and flopping. So I think a lot of that had to do with Bobby Bright in that race, but it's pretty obvious that Martha Roby convinced enough people to forgive her her anti-Trump stance before the 2016 election.
Well, you got any closing words for Alvin Holmes, who is departing the scene?
Hold on. Give me a second. I mean, if you're going to do this, once again, do we have any closing words about who?
Alvin Holmes.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
All right. Okay, go ahead. So, Matt, yes. Yeah, Matt, any closing? Because I got to tell you, I got to be frank with you. I'm bummed out. If Alvin Holmes is gone, I'm going to have to do so much more show prep if he's not there doing it for me.
We talk show hosts should collectively get together, throw our money down in a pool, and erect some form of statue to Alvin Holmes for the gift that he was over the course of his 44 years in the Capitol and in Montgomery, Alabama, from climbing up the Capitol to try to steal the Confederate flag before they took that off top of the Capitol, to getting stopped on I-85, drunk as Cooter Brown, reportedly had urinated on himself, being stopped by Sheriff D.T. Marshall in Montgomery County, and he got off because legislators were amnestized during the session. Two, what wrong with the beer we got? It is fascinating to me. I was not following that race at all. It is fascinating to me that after all of those things, that anybody in a Democrat primary runoff could beat Alvin Holmes. I'm going to be fascinated to read up on how in the world that happened.
Well, it looked like he had like just barely 100 votes. People show up for a Democratic primary. I mean,
when your constituency is dying at a rate like the World War II veterans, I mean, there's a chance, you know, that you fall down a number of votes.
So who's winning lieutenant governor in the Republican primary, men?
If you're looking at the numbers, it's got to be Ainsworth right now. My only thinking is maybe there's some boxes out in some of these urban areas. Some of them, like the over the mountain places where Twinkle would do well, the Cloverdale and Montgomery and the Spring Hill and the Eastern Shore in Baldwin County. There's a lot of votes there, but I don't know. It's getting really late in the game for her.
Yeah, this is turning into sort of like the Trump situation in 2016, where I think we all know where it's going, but nobody wants to get it wrong. And it appears that in this situation, 83% of the precincts are in. Ainsworth up 52-47 and 52-48 almost. But it is just, it's not nailed down yet. And, you know, Twinkle Kavanaugh, there could be some Twinkle boxes out there. But Matt, we were talking about this earlier. Do you know anyone that was excited about Twinkle? Did you have a single caller who ever said, I'm on Team Twinkle? Tell me about it.
You know, pretty late, we had a couple of random emails and messaging on Facebook and whatnot pretty late in the game. And I speculated that they seemed to be set up. These people were very, very passionate. I had heard no one passionate about Twinkle's candidacy. Nobody. And suddenly we get several different sources coming in and saying, Matt's being mean, he's being nasty, he's being dishonest, and just these long diatribes about her history of public service. It was just kind of over the top in a way that my 18 years in talk radio tells me this is a setup. That's the only thing that I saw. We got no calls of defense, and I begged for them for 2.5 months, we didn't get anything. So Twinkle is an insider's insider. She was running on name ID and trying to glom herself onto Donald Trump. None of it worked, thank God.
Yep.
I'm hopeful, I'm crossing my fingers that this turns out properly, and that is that Will Ainsworth will be the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor.
Yeah, for what,
you know, guys, I think we can sit here today. Yeah, I think we could sit here today and make the argument that if Twinkle would have come on talk radio, even if she was taking slings and arrows for things she was doing, or early on in this race, just come on and talked about what she wanted to do, other than running on the fact that she had a name that was, for lack of a better term, stupid. So it stuck out. And people know the name Twinkle because she's run for a lot of stuff. But it's almost like she took this, I deserve it, it's mine mentality. But at the same time, guys, she didn't do any of those things, and she's still right there near 50%. So, I mean, maybe their strategy wasn't really all that bad, but it wasn't good enough.
If any of you guys...
I'm seeing new numbers. Sorry to interrupt there. I'm seeing new numbers. 83% of the precincts in, and Will's still holding a 52 to 48% vote. I think Will has defeated... But just to trampoline on what Dale just said, I do agree with Dale, and I'm not one of these that wants to take talk radio to take credit for every victory. If we do that, we have to take credit for every loss, too. But I'll say this. It doesn't take much to overcome a mean talk show host in Alabama. The people of Alabama just want someone to sit down and tell the truth, their truth. All you have to do is sit down in front of Dale Jackson or Sean Sullivan or even Jeff Poore or Matt Murphy and tell the truth. And I can't scream at you if you're telling the truth and giving your position on this variety of issues. Twinkle refused to do that. A lot of candidates refused to do that. I think at this point is at their own peril. They're doing so in the face of defeat.
Well, can any of you guys tell me what the lieutenant governor of Alabama does?
They make appointments now, Jeff. Very important
appointments. I still don't know, and I've had Will Ainsworth and Twinkle Kavanaugh both explain it to me.
Oh, and they wait around for KIV to
wait for the governor to resign or die. A governor has just resigned in the last several years, and there's a lot of speculation that this governor is not in good health. Now, Will Ainsworth reportedly has told Del Marsh in the Alabama Senate that he wants all the lieutenant governor power back, and I have serious doubts whether the Senate President Pro Tem has any inclination about doing that.
Yeah, and we'll all get to, you know what, if he wins tonight, we'll all get to ask him that on the air, which, by the way, I want to point this out. You mentioned it, Matt, and I want to point out for the first time, I think, well, in Alabama talk radio history, all of us are on the air at the same time, which is, this is like, remember the Godfather when the helicopter showed up and they started shooting through the windows? That's what could happen here, but we're on the air at the same time. And I want to second or just glom on to what y'all are saying. There are certain politicians in this state that won't go. We talk politicians. We actually talk behind y'all's back. And when you won't go on any of our shows, none of us. And heck, I'm the nice guy. And you won't go on our shows. It's on you. It's not on us.
Well, that's what the Roy Moore thing was. He shied away from talk radio except for like a Scott Beeson appearance or something. And he just never connected with that necessary crowd. And it's more pivotal. It's more important than people give it, I think, want to recognize, especially with the consulted class in Montgomery, because they tend to just kind of turn their nose up at the whole talk radio format.
Well, and when
can we talk about the fact that Sean did get an interview with Twinkle?
Do what?
There's a distinct problem. When you have decided that you're not willing to sit down with any free-flowing, free-thought exchange in the state, there's a reason for that, and I think the voters recognize that. It might be one thing that, you know, Troy King and Dale Jackson have history, and boy, do they have history. It might be one thing that Twinkle refuses to come on my show because I've said mean things about her, or Sean, you have a disagreement with somebody down in Mobile.
Yeah.
And when they choose to ignore all of us,
yeah,
then the voters recognize that there's a problem there.
There it is. And Dale, I want to let you respond as well. You're about to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, Matt, I don't know what we're supposed to take away from this career-wise, but Twinkle Kavanaugh did do an interview with Sean towards the end on Monday.
She through her distaste, called in to just, I think, and Dalton, you can correct me back there, that I don't think she took one breath because she was scared I would say something about the PSC, which is my, you know, one of my favorite subjects. She just told us how Trumpy she was and then got off. So that was it. So there we go.
Well, Well, Sean, you probably cost her 3-4 points right there, so congratulations.
Thank you. Hey, Matt, thank you for being on. We appreciate your time checking in from Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. And if you got any new information from up there, just let us know, and we'll get it carried through sometime between now and 10 o'clock.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, Matt Murphy checking in. Coming back, more with Jeff Poor, of course, Dale Jackson, and we'll get information, the latest, and I have this. Let me add this to the mix, because maybe you might be interested, local folks. Well, State Senate District 32, Chris Elliott has thanked his campaign after the defeat of David Northcutt. We'll get to that more. 32 looks like it's called. We'll get to details on that and other local races on the judicial side when we return.
Election night coverage is on with up-to-the-minute results. Analysis statewide and local. Sean Sullivan and the FM Talk 1065 political team on FM Talk 1065.
Welcome back. It is election night coverage live on FM Talk 1065, fmtalk1065.com. And a big thank you to Jeff Poor hanging out with us. Of course, Dale Jackson from WVNN. Also, Guerrilla Politics TV and the audio, the riveting, stunning audio from Guerrilla Politics TV that airs at 11:30 on Saturday mornings here at FM Talk 1065. You don't even need the pictures, although they can go watch the show as well. Right, Dale?
It's much better if you listen to it, and specifically you listen to it on FM Talk 106.5.
See, this is beautiful. As we are looking at some of the numbers, when we went to break, here in our neck of the woods, I will say the biggest, and it's weird, too, because it's the biggest, but it's only part of not just the DMA, but the local community, right? Baldwin County. But this Senate District 32 has had a outsized presence in our world, and it looks like as of just a couple minutes ago, Chris Elliott, and I'll check this, they're calling it. I'm calling it a win for Elliott here over David Northcutt. And that's a big one.
That's a win for John Gray. How about that?
Yeah, and the question is, what does this mean for, you know, Dale, the cash cow that is 32? That's why this is so much of interest. I mean, we're pumping up money to, you know, prop up y'all in North Alabama. Well, okay, maybe Central Alabama, but this is a big deal. I mean, you look at the sales tax revenue that comes through Baldwin County. 32 is a big deal.
Well, the BP money.
Oh yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, no question.
Well, that was the campaign issue, though, about keeping Baldwin County's money in Baldwin County. How many of those ads have aired on your station, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did that resonate with people, and did Northcutt and just not really have a good response for that?
I don't know, though. You look at the 88% reporting here. They've called this in Senate District 32 race. Chris Elliott, 8,039 votes. David Northcutt, 7,540. It's not like it was a blowout here, you know? That's fairly tight. Although you look at that, and obviously it's because, fewer total votes, fewer precincts, because that's kind of margins we're still looking at in this lieutenant governor's race. I mean, unless something new's come out, I don't know. Do y'all have anything new in that race? Any new numbers?
I got 90% Will Ainsworth, 52 to Kavanaugh, 47.94. So this thing is it's looking closer and closer to being a done deal. But you know, nothing. It's not over till it's over.
It's about 12,000
votes. Does not strike me as. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you get 12,000 votes this late in the game and make it up and keep this? I don't know. It might tighten up some, but I think Will Ainsworth is probably going to win this.
All right. So
I mean, all you got to do is do the math here for a second, guys. We're looking at right now. There's roughly, and this is, math isn't perfect, but 310,000 votes in there right now. 10% are still out. I'm not a math major or anything, but that's about 30,000 votes. Can you close a 12,000 point gap in that many votes? I know they were just talking about precincts, and I know it's more complicated than that, but if we're just looking at raw numbers, it's going to be pretty hard to pick that gap up.
Well, we don't know what the turnout's going to be, I guess, until they count the votes officially. Yeah. But with those boxes coming in, I think you're onto something there.
All right, let's do this. Ahead of the break, we'll come right back. More of Election Night coverage. We're checking in from North Alabama with Dale Jackson right here in Southwest Alabama. Also, any other updates we get from the Wiregrass, Montgomery. If you're looking for more information on local races in these, and I know there, I'm getting the emails and the text about this, we will run through the judge, the place six and the place four race numbers when we get back. Locally, to the big story, Alabama Senate District 32, Chris Elliott, they're calling it for Elliott now over David Northcutt. So more on that when we return right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Election night coverage is on with up-to-the-minute results, analysis statewide and local. Sean Sullivan and the FM Talk 106.5 political team on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 9:36, FM Talk 106.5, and continuing election night coverage here in the state of Alabama. And this is good because, you know, it used to be, and I don't know why it is, you think as technology got better, that we'd have a better chance of calling races earlier, but it seems over the last year or two, things have gone further into the night here, and so I'm glad that we didn't start, you know, right at closing time at 7 o'clock. We waited for an hour to get, because we're still right now waiting for the ink to dry on some of these races.
Well, we'd be treading water for the first hour.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think is going to happen in the Wiregrass? tell me how them Calhoun County boxes are looking.
Let's look at what we do know at this point. I'll tell you what, I'll run through the local stuff here very quickly, and Dalton, you'll bring us up to date on that, and then we will go to the statewide races. Like we mentioned before the break, Chris Elliott winning over David Northcutt, State Senate District 32, way early in the night. That was the one we knew right off the bat, as Tucker Dorsey conceded to Billy Joe Underwood in that Baldwin County Commission race. Dalton, what else do we have here? We got a couple big judicial races people are watching.
And this one isn't local, but the biggest, I guess the biggest race we have right now, but Twinkle Kavanaugh just took the stage, and Howard Koplowitz, he's tweeting. He said that overheard that she just called Will Ainsworth. Unclear right now if she conceded, but 92% of the vote in. She's 4 percentage points behind, but she just took the stage at her party.
It's not good to say just took the stage because, I mean, I hear something else there. Let's give it up for somebody else. But she is. I'm just saying what it sounds like. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying what it sounds like to be Dale Jackson.
Hey, she got the name for it, right? Well, up next, Twinkle.
Sorry, but I mean, you know, you say it that way. Also, let's talk about the place six and place four numbers here. This was on this side of the bay. Is, you know, if you say State Senate District 32 was a big, big deal for Baldwin County, and actually just interest in it spilled over to Mobile County. Mobile County had its big story here with runoffs for place four and place six. As we saw the numbers earlier, it was just a couple hundred votes separating. What are we looking at now?
Yeah, right now, according to our news partners at WKRG, still 50-50 in the Hambright-Satterwhite race for that place six. Right now, they have Hambright ahead 9,756 to 9,666 with 82% of the precinct, 82% of the votes counted. And in that district court judge race for place four right now, Spiro Shergatis up 54% to 46%. 6% with 82% reporting.
All right, and it looks like it is not dial time as we look at statewide races.
He went negative at the end. I think that's what cost him dial time.
Does it? I mean, that's okay. Listen, that is a fair, thought-out thing to say, but also I hear that and I wonder, my relatives, my friends, regular folks riding down the road, did they hear the did enough people outside really wonky world hear the allegations leveled against Pate Dial? Pate, or do they just remember that there's a catchy jingle for Dial and he seemed like, you know, he had signs that were circles, not squares, so might be fun?
Rick Pate was the guy, you know, the alpha guy. He had all he was the guy that most of the smart money had backed. And Dial, we kind of thought that he got in there because of that jingle, because
I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, it wasn't enough, I guess, and I think going negative was an act of desperation there at the end. I don't know. So that, to me, that's, I think, I don't know what else he could have done. I guess it was he kind of saw the writing on the wall and went in that direction, trying to throw a Hail Mary.
Now, what do you think?
Yeah, it's the chicken or the egg thing. Did he know he was done, so he went super negative, or did he go super negative and it cost him the race? I mean, there's two ways to look at it, but I don't think you go that route with the whole spousal abuse thing unless you think that you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's kind of a nuke option. That's the nuke option. By the way, too, I would add this coming in just a little bit ago from our from Bob Gripp on Twitter, probate judge for the GOP, Baldwin County. Harry Doleve, 10,532. Alan Lipscomb, 8,907, with 88% of the precincts reporting. So that's another one in Baldwin County has people talking. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, AL.com reporting right now, Twinkle Kavanaugh took the podium. Quote, it has been a fun journey, which is yet another lie from Twinkle Kavanaugh, but it should lead us to believe that this thing is probably over for her.
Yeah, so my question here is, she's already got a gig, man. She's what would be next for Twinkle Kavanaugh? I mean, what position?
An executive seat in the Board of Alabama Power.
Oh, Jeff Poore.
Jeff went for the joke. Jeff went for the joke, but there's another joke to be made, and that is, what's next for Twinkle Kavanaugh? Well, what's coming up next? Because that would also be the appropriate answer.
Right. What do you got?
Well, what could she run for? What's opening up?
Yeah,
she got beat by somebody. Look, if she loses to Will Ainsworth, which it looks like he is, even though she closed at one of the points, now it's down to about three, at least on what I'm looking at. Maybe that's changed. But if she loses to this guy, let's just be real. Outside of Marshall County and North Alabama, listeners to the Dale Jackson show, who the hell knew who Will Ainsworth was 3 months ago? And the answer is nobody. So he came out of nowhere. And maybe this is the whole Trump not a politician phenomenon that we're so fond of in the last decade. I don't even want to call it the Trump phenomenon, but the I'm not a politician phenomenon. Maybe that's it. But she got beat by a nobody. I mean that's he's a somebody now. But essentially she got beat by a nobody, right? I mean, Sean, did you ever hear of her or hear of Will before this went down?
No, I did not. I hadn't heard of Ainsworth. I had heard his name, but when it really stuck out to me is when they came out with the press release that said, hey, he's going to spend $1 million.
Right,
$1 million during the primary, and maybe just the small businessman in me said, hey, who is this guy? Can we get a call into him? That got some attention. But that goes back to the bigger question from the micro that we're doing with these numbers coming in tonight to the macro, which is the, unanswerable or just at least one based in opinion. Why the heck does somebody want to spend that money or people that support them spend that kind of money for a job that is there to set appointments and be the liaison with the Alabama Senate?
A ceremonial office, as far as I'm concerned. As we've said it, that they're just waiting to be the next governor. It's the governor in waiting, right?
And it looks like it's official now. Kavanaugh officially concedes.
All right, so she has. Yeah, so it's that's a wrap for Kavanaugh.
That's an upset. That's a huge upset. Huge upset.
So this is okay. There's an upset, I would say. So that one was upset. The Marshall versus King was not an upset, although. Look at the numbers. That's what's interesting to me. If you look at the numbers, where they finish in a primary, right? The two people that go into a runoff. Then look at their numbers in a runoff. Because we always have this question, well, the people that voted for those people in the primary probably come back out to vote for them in the runoff. But the others, the people that had voted for other people, do the people that are dyed-in-the-wool Alice Martin supporters? Where's the chess contingent take their vote?
My thing would be this on that question. Look, these are Republican primaries. These are people who are Republican Party activists, and these are people who are Republican Party diehards. They're showing up and they're voting against the Democrat. I mean, there will be some that peel off, but it will mostly be people who are going to roll out here and vote straight Republican ticket. And I think that's what you'll probably see. I don't know too many that will be, I'm not voting at all because my guy didn't win. I'm not sure that happens as much as we like to think it does.
All right, coming right back, more of our election night coverage. We'll get you the latest numbers. Also, some comments maybe from some of the winners tonight, as some of them want to be on with us and talk to y'all. And remember, too, your text and emails, welcome. Text line popping at 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming right back, more of election night coverage on FM Talk 106.5. Y'all are playing this, really? This is, really? I do like Beck, so...
Election night coverage is on with up-to-the-minute results. Analysis statewide and local. Sean Sullivan and the FM Talk 106.5 political team on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 9:50, FM Talk 106.5 and continuing election night coverage. And joined by Jeff Poor with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Also from WVNN and host of Guerrilla Politics. We do the radio part. I mean, there's the TV part, but we do the radio part because we don't have a TV station. It's Dale Jackson. Hey, Dale.
Hey, you'll get a TV station one day.
One day. I'll put it in the big conglomerate here. Yes.
This is in State House District 102. Willie Gray versus Shane Stringer.
Yeah, so people were asking about the latest on
Gray. 88% reported were did like 50-50. It looks like Stringer has about a 22-vote lead with 88% in.
Wow. Okay. So for those who haven't followed this, of course, this area of Mobile County, this is we'll say this, Gray was, even though this is, all toss-up, he was the favorite.
Yeah, he was the favorite. He had a newspaper editor.
Of the Call News.
Right.
Editor of the Call News. You know, hear their spots here on the station. Willie's been on the show with us before.
Right.
So and then Shane Stringer, of course, through the time in law enforcement, kind of still the outsider in this.
Satsuma.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And police chief and the outsider. So you're saying we're looking at a dead heat here?
We're at 88% reporting. We're at 50-50, according to WPMI.
That's a real story. That has a lot of... I will say this, the way Dale earlier said, hey, here's what people call and tell me, and I tell y'all the same things, that I was told by the people out in Montgomery, basically they were getting things ready for Willie Gray in Montgomery.
That's what I heard, too. I mean, he was
just preparing...
would go to the events up there, and mm-hmm. he seemed to be the guy everybody wanted to talk to.
And maybe he still is, but it is surprising.
It wasn't supposed to be this close.
So there it is. This one probably will be one that will not be called for quite a while. All right.
A quick run through of what we know right now. Will Ainsworth concedes, he beats Twinkle Kavanaugh. She just conceded about 10, 15 minutes ago. Steve Marshall beats Troy King for that attorney general race. He got 62% of the vote with 94% of the precincts reporting. For Supreme Court Justice in place one, Sarah Stewart takes care of Brad Mendheim, 56% of the vote to 44%. Right now, for Court of Civil Appeals, in place one, Christy Edwards leading Michelle Thomason. Looks like she might win this one. She's up by 20,000 votes with 94% reporting. Chris McCool has a lead over Rich Anderson for the Court of Criminal Appeals. That's place two. Chris McCool has 55% of the vote with 94% reporting. We mentioned earlier, Rick Pate looks like he's won over Gerald Dial for the Ag Commissioner spot. Martha Roby, that was called earlier. She beat Bobby Bright for that District 2 House of Representatives seat in the primary here. Brandi Hambright, 51% to Harry Satterwhite's 49%. She's up by about 300 votes with 92% reporting. And it looks like Spiro Sharagotis is about to take the stage. He's up by just over 2,000 votes with 92% of the precincts reporting right now.
How much of a lead?
He's got 12,901 to George Zogby's 10,807.
Wow, that one was surprising as well.
Yeah, for sure. And Chris Elliott,
I thought that was going to be I didn't know which way it would have broken, but I thought it was a 51-49 kind of affair.
It was definitely one of the tighter races mm-hmm. here locally.
At least it seemed like it until now.
Thought so. Chris Elliott, he beats David Northcutt with 52% of the vote. That was called earlier. And Billy Joe Underwood, Tucker Dorsey, he was one of the first to concede tonight. He only got 35% of the vote. And now most of the precincts are reporting, but that one was called quite a while ago.
All right. I want to address with it pretty quickly here, and then we'll get to it. Somebody had on the text line, as he said, I can't believe, and this is somebody I enjoy texting with a lot, we don't often agree, but said, I can't believe the DUI didn't hurt that arrogant Elliot, talking about Chris Elliott and the DUI. And my question is, how does that affect? I mean, do you look at these votes as a idealistic thumb in the eye of somebody, or do you look at a pragmatic decision, which I think there's a lot of people made this argument, whether they liked Chris Elliott or not, and said, hey, if we're going to have any chance of building coalitions in Montgomery to try to protect some of the money that comes out of, you know, Baldwin County and Senate District 32, you have to have somebody who knows that this person and this person and this person can help build a coalition versus David Northcutt, who's on the show with us many times, had him on here, who basically said, I'm going to tell them all to get screwed up there.
Are people just afraid of migrants coming to Baldwin County?
Right.
I mean, that's
right. And that goes back to the because your story pointing out that the trip that was Tucker Dorsey, was Chris Elliott, was Baldwin County Sheriff Hoss Mack, was unnecessary.
And Bradley Byrne.
Bradley Byrne was there.
Was up there, yeah. But
Bradley
that
Byrne
was,
goes to why,
he, that like, was he's the four horsemen
already.
Of yeah. the migrant apocalypse coming, you know, and to me that was, to me that was dog whistle politics. And
Did they win?
Well, that's the way it's looking. I mean, well Tucker Dorsey got beat bad.
But I don't know that made a difference for Dorsey, but I don't know, does this make a difference for Chris Elliott? What do you think?
Look, let me just jump in here on this whole. One of the guys had a DUI. The guy who won had a DUI. Is that
yes,
the question?
Yes.
Like how? Okay, guys, let's just lay the cards on the table here. And this is my take on the whole DUI situation. We hear often. I don't have a DUI, but only because of the grace of God. Because there's been times when I've gotten behind the wheel when I shouldn't have throughout my life. I don't do it anymore because I'm an adult and a father and all right. those other things. But I think most people who have had a beer or two out in a bar have gotten behind the wheel and think there before the grace of God go I. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that's the silver bullet people think it is.
Did you say silver bullet? Did you say silver? probably shouldn't have chosen silver bullet, but it's not the course.
You could have queued up to Alvin Holmes.
That's right. Okay. Yes, that's true. But did Alvin? Yeah, he did address Coors. So yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
But I actually agree with you, Dale. Which will put us. I'm already looking at the text line. People are ready to burn us at the stake. But I try to be real about it. And this is not defending. It's just saying. That it used to be, used to be an atomic bomb for a political career, I don't know that they all are anymore.
Well, it depends on where you're at in the state, I think. Baldwin County might be a little more progressive on these sort of things than Coleman County, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. Look at the stats in Coleman County. Look what's going on up there. I mean, you know.
Well, it's just turned. It's just now wet. It was the dry.
Those are the big. Hey,
years.
Listen. As I come from my mother's side of the biggest teetotalers ever. They were the biggest. You know, they were always drunk.
But
know?
I think there was a.
Hey,
go ahead, Dale.
The dry county still had DUIs.
That's right. That is right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
this is, I mean, this is maybe that play. Well, maybe it's not. We conflate things. Maybe, you know, this would have happened with it or without it, and we're just, you know, tacking on.
I think there's an actual good get out the vote effort by the Elliott folks.
Well, okay, but also, and we're going to run out of time here, but I know that this texter is often defending President Trump and doing things, and always say, hey, look past Trump doing this, because it's, you know, the ends justify the means. This is part of the. So if you don't give, if you don't give a tinker's damn because this allegation for sexual impropriety or this other thing for President Trump, because it's already the deal, he's getting the deal done, but you obsess on this one here because somebody got a DUI, I just wonder if the hypocrisy police need to show up at your house. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, but we're talking a political discussion and comparing this to what your brain-dead Trump supporter is going to do. I think those are two different things.
There you go. That's Jeff Poor with that quote of the evening. You can find him on Twitter and, digitally pillory him at Jeff_Poor. I would just say Jeff Poor together, and they'll never get the underscore. Also, a big thank you, of course. Dale Jackson from WVNN and Guerrilla Politics TV. Thank you, man. Thanks for being on with us. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Had a great time. Let's do it again.
Yeah, we will. And maybe we get this worked out. We'll do it during the general.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
All right, so we'll meet back here. And, if y'all want to do that, we'll have it all again. Big thank you to Todd Stacey, of course, Matt Murphy joining us, and all y'all on the text line, and Dalton putting it all together from the social media aspect and what's coming in on our text line.
Yeah, and real quick, if you missed part of the show, if you want to catch up on the whole, I guess, live election results and all the discussion, that'll be up on our podcast page, fmtalk1065.com.
All right, so we'll do it all again, come general election time, and we'll do more recap tomorrow. But as we close out tonight, here it is. We're sure on the AG's race, it's Steve Marshall. It looks like it's Will Ainsworth, of course. Now that's a done deal. It's also Pate for Ag and Industrial, right? So those are locked down and done, right? All right, good. We got those, and then the local races. Chris Elliott, winner. It looks like. Can we call the judicials? No.
Not sure.
Okay. We'll do that in the morning.
My wife has hit me up for calling Trump supporters brain dead.
See, there you go. You got to answer to her and a whole bunch of people on the text line. So we better get off and let you get to it. Y'all have a great one. See you at 6:00.